Talk Radio 702. Eyewitness News. In touch, in tune, and independent. This is Talk Radio 702. Your number one news and talk station.
Good morning. You're listening to Talk Radio 702 and 567 Cape Talk. It's Clinton Auquier in for Errol this morning. As I said before the news, we're joined in studio by Marietta Hindi, who is a hypnotherapist. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Clinton.
Now, you're going to tell us a little bit more about hypnotherapy, how it can help us and what to look out for. What exactly is hypnotherapy?
Hypnotherapy is a choice technique for reaching your subconscious mind directly, bypassing your negativity with your conscious mind.
Okay, sure. And what type of things can you help us with on this? Is it like a quit smoking thing? What can we do?
Almost endless. Quit smoking is really the most easiest thing in the world, but it works with your own mind. So if you're not ready for it, the hypnotherapist most probably can take you off. But you're getting it back about like 10 days or 2 weeks time as well. So it works mostly with your mind. The hypnotherapist is a facilitator.
Okay, so you've got to really want to. And then would it sort of eliminate your cravings, or would it just help you with your willpower?
Yes, it just helps you with your willpower and eliminate the cravings.
Okay, very interesting. And what do people normally come to you with in terms of problems that they like?
Clinton, almost with everything. From marital problems right up to clinical problems. I used to, 2 years ago, I used to teach in the general hospital as well, 40 students on hypnosis and nurses how to behave with pre-op and post-op. Almost anything you can use, it is your mind. And the problem is that nobody really knows how much the mind can do.
But that's another thing that scares a lot of people, particularly with hypnosis, is that, you know, a lot of people would say, and I'm sort of in this boat as well, is that you're messing with something that we don't really understand, and delving into the subconscious mind, isn't it best left alone? It's your subconscious.
Well, that is a misconception, because your subconscious is everything. That is what it do the work for you. That is the one who really do the job. The conscious mind is a validator. It's validating the five senses for you from outside. And because if something is coming validating for you, this something is negative in nature, that is its nature. It has to be negative. That's why you're making up your mind on something and you can't deliver it, because all of a sudden you negate it out straight away.
And now, how do you actually deal with things that you bring up from your subconscious? How do you then deal with it with your conscious mind once you've brought this out through hypnosis?
Clinton, your mind, your conscious mind and your subconscious mind, your mind generally works with visions. You got a vision, you are worth something, you're doing something. That is how we actually can go around in the world. We've got an idea. An idea is a frozen moment in the past in your mind. And then you got a holographic picture in your forehead about it, whatever it is. Now, we all coming from different walk of lives, according to what you've been taught to, unfortunately. It's very much also the case in it, what your behavioral thinking is about.
Okay.
Does it make sense to you?
It makes a little bit of sense to me. You're going to have to teach us a lot. Yeah, we're going to take a call here. We've got Quibus on the line. You've got a question.
Good morning.
Morning, Quibus.
Yes, I would like to ask the doctor, how dangerous can hypnotherapy be if it's in the wrong hands? And also, what is the difference between hypnotherapy and regression therapy? Can I listen to the radio, please?
Okay, great, Corbus. Thanks for the question.
Hi, Corbus. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a hypnotherapist. But it absolutely no danger whatsoever in it. Unfortunately, there are lots of misconceptions about hypnotherapy, and that's why I'm on the air to clear that up. It's absolutely nothing dangerous about it. You're using your own mind. Nobody can go over your own mind. That is your own mind, and you're completely conscious of the whole procedure.
Okay. Now, if you look at sort of the post-hypnotic suggestion thing, because this is something that does confuse me. We've all seen those hypnosis shows on TV where people get hypnotized in the beginning of the show, and then a little thing gets left with them that every time you hear this bell, you're going to cluck like a chicken or something like that. How long does that last for? And if you can do something like that, why can't they leave other post-hypnotic suggestions there?
A post-hypnotic suggestion works forever, yes, but it's working because you want it. The minute something is against your belief or anything what you don't like about, you wake up instantly.
So, and how long would that last for? Are we talking it's going to last for a day, or if it's within your belief system, it'll last for a month?
If you really, it's very much works with beliefs as well. So if you really believe that it works for you, for something I suggest that now you every time you smoke you will feel that you just want to puke, for instance. Mm. And if it's I had a client like that and he loved it because
is that the kind of thing that
cigarette.
You...
but it's have to you have to believe me that it's gonna work. If you don't believe me, it's not gonna work.
Okay, and then just to go back to Quibus's other question, the difference between hypnotherapy and regression therapy, is it the same thing? Or
It is the same thing. Basically, I feel that every psychologist should use it. Unfortunately, it's very boo-boo done still, unless in the state where since 1958 they're using it very, very big, with very big success. It is just something that when you do regression without hypnosis, then you basically, as I explained to you before, recycling your bad experiences. So basically reaffirming it in your subconscious mind instead of getting rid of it. As under hypnosis, your conscious mind doesn't negate it out.
Okay, so you're going directly to those.
Directly, you access your subconscious mind.
And then how do you get to the point where your conscious mind, you know, because you obviously have to deal with these things you've brought up, how do you then reach that point that you sort of deal with all these things you've now released through hypnosis?
It is a very, very pleasurable experience. You are going into a very, very deep relaxation. And you're completely conscious, but you're so relaxed that you actually, your brain activity is getting into alpha mode, and in this alpha mode, you're bypassing the critical faculty of your conscious mind.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. We're going to go to a caller. Jenny, you have a question. Good morning. Jenny, are you there? Okay, we'll see.
Hello, yes, I am.
Did you just run away for a while?
Yes, I got nervous.
What would you like to ask, Jenny?
I'd like to ask the doctor something about anorexia. Our granddaughter has anorexia. They live in America, and we're so worried. Just wondered if the doctor could help us with this.
Okay, Jenny, would you like to listen on the radio?
Yes, I would.
Okay, great. Thanks. That was Jenny just asking if you can work on anorexia. I think Marietta has said she's not a doctor. She's a hypnotherapist, but I think for some people it's easier just to say that. So can you cure anorexia?
Yes, basically you can cure everything with your mind, and anorexia especially also starts with the mind, that either a picture or something that when the person is looking at the mirror, seeing themselves differently than what they are. And obviously if some trauma or something happened, what actually causes, or some misconception about it, because sometimes when somebody is young and very much believe something and can go for it that I'm still too fat and I want to lose weight, and it's getting into the extreme.
All right, so let's go to Paul. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, what would you like to add, Paul?
Yes, I'm testament that hypnosis does work. I stopped smoking 14 years ago. It will be this 20th of December. And the 20th of October this year was my 13th anniversary of no alcohol through 20 minutes each time of hypnotherapy.
Wow.
And I was a 30-40-a-day smoker, and I drank for the 18, put it that way. And, yeah, I haven't touched a drop. I have no desire to, and live a far better lifestyle now, and that's through hypnotherapy.
Did you ever try to have a cigarette after you went to the hypnotherapy?
No desire to whatsoever. It feels foreign in my hands. when I hold it. I mean, and I smoked all my life up until then, from a youngster. And, yeah, it just felt like I'd never, ever smoked.
Yeah, I'm seeing Marietta nod along here, so it's obviously something you've had experience with. Let me ask you about a success rate on something like that. Like, if you had to take 10 people who have come in to try quit smoking and you do it through this hypnotherapy, how many last? How many go the distance?
I find that if people also with misconception-wise think that you're going to take them off and they are just not ready for it, then in that case it might work for a while, but it's not working for that long. People who are really making up their mind that they want to get off smoking, I can take them off straight away.
Straight away. Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because I quit smoking for 3 years just with nothing, and I started again recently. So maybe I'll pay your offices a visit soon.
You're welcome.
It's 16 minutes past six. We're taking your calls if you have any questions. We have a hypnotherapist in studio, and it would be nice to clear up some of the misconceptions out there. I must say that I am one of the people that shares a lot of these misconceptions. The numbers are 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Talk Radio 702 and 567 Cape Talk. We are joined in studio with Marietta Hindi, who is a hypnotherapist, and she's taking your questions. And yeah, if you'd like to ask what things hypnotherapy could help you with, if you have a problem that you'd like to chat with her about to see if this is something that hypnotherapy can assist with, feel free to call in. Now, something we were speaking about in the break is just that there are many misconceptions about hypnosis. So I'd like to ask you a few questions here.
Oh, yeah.
The one is, if no one's there to bring you out of hypnotherapy or hypnosis, I remember a movie called Office Space where a guy goes, to a hypnotist and then the hypnotist actually dies while putting him in this state. And he's kind of a little warped afterwards. What'll happen if you just get left?
Absolutely nothing. You're going to have a very nice sleep, maybe 10 minutes, maybe an hour, and then you wake up.
Yeah, and I imagine you feel quite relaxed. It's something that is so foreign to people, and that's why we get these... we're scared of hypnotists.
I know, and that is due to all these stage shows, which Max Kahn is a very good friend of mine, but we discussed it a couple of times, and I said, at least just say to the audience that it's such a valuable something to be able to help your life with, instead of, that is now on stage is a play-plating.
Mm.
And unfortunately, that is what we always like, the negative and the silly things to take
it's
it more easier.
Isn't it?
It's easier to believe than something what is really worthwhile.
Okay. We're going to go to a caller, Catherine. Good morning to you.
Morning. Hi. I'd like to ask your guest about, my daughter is a university student who has to do quite a few oral exams, and she's just recently failed two oral exams and has two SUPs in January. And I was wondering if hypnotherapy would help her, because she just falls apart before an oral exam. She's just a bag of nerves. And I don't know if they can help me.
If hypnotherapy could help with that. Okay, Catherine, let's see on that one.
Yes, I helped quite many students with hypnotherapy. First of all, hypnotherapy, if you learn it as self-hypnosis, and you can take yourself down and relax yourself, that's it, self-help. Also, the nervousness stems from somewhere or some experience, what we have to regress and have a look at it. And then there's also many technique where you can accelerate the learning and helping the student to recall better.
Oh, that's fantastic. So is that quite a few sessions?
It needs a few sessions. Everything basically needs a few, just a few sessions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you going to give out a number at the end of the program?
What we will do is give out the number, and if you have a website or email address, we'll give that out as well, and then we'll put it on our site as well, Catherine.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Cheers. So we can definitely help out on things like nerves and that. Now, are there some tips and tricks in terms of the self-hypnosis thing to kind of put people at a bit more ease, particularly when it comes to, you know, you're addressing this massive crowd of people, you're nervous. Like, what are the little tips that everyone can kind of do to just get your mind in the right place?
You have to have your mental picture of what you want. You have to have a clear mental picture. Say you are nervous in front of people. Mm. You have to have the clear mental picture, and repeatedly. Your mind works with repetition. Repeatedly, again and again, seeing yourself addressing this audience. Mm. And you have no idea how fantastically that works.
Oh, really? So
it works with me.
So if I had to sit, because that is something, it's public speaking is one of those things that people are afraid to death of. So if you had to just visualize the speech in your head, standing in front of the crowd over and over and over again before, you said it'll just, how effective is this? Are you still going to be a little bit jittery, or are you going to be completely fine?
You see, that's where, again, hypnosis comes in. If you do that consciously, you will negate it out. If the small little voice says in your head, now are you silly, now I'm going to be terrible, I hate people. Mm. Some people do, yes.
Yes.
And, you know, that sort of thing. So basically, consciously, we negate everything out what we set out to do. And that is the sad thing, and that's where hypnosis comes in, that you relax yourself, you're bypassing this negativity, and you see yourself, feel yourself, and experiencing yourself in this picture, repeatedly. I'm saying repeatedly, as I said, your mind works with repetition. And so many times you repeat that the negative thing, you have to sort of make it up for it.
Okay, and in terms of, again, I'll use the example of public speaking. Do you often find that there is an event in someone's life that you find through hypnosis that causes them to react this way when speaking in front of a lot of people?
It's almost always. I think we all carry a lots of baggage from childhood right up to. I got sometimes people coming to me and say, "Well, I had a lovely childhood. I have no reason for that," but say they're coming for Velos, and I say, "Well, let's just have a look." And we go back right from the mother's womb right up to, and you have
can go
no
that
idea
far
what
back.
Comes. Oh, yes.
But now,
I've heard... But that's with visions. It's imagination. It's with your images.
But now, how sure can you be that all these things are real and some of it isn't just imagination? Like, in terms of, if you had to sort of take someone through hypnosis to recall a crime scene, you know, how accurate are those memories and how much is just sort of made up?
Under hypnosis, your memory is much better, is at least 10 times better than before.
But is there a risk that some of the memories are false memories?
Very small, but yes, sometimes it is happening that somebody is blocking it so badly that even under hypnosis, it's happened with me once or twice that we went back. I felt it something there.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's just go back and see and have a look at it, and then we find plenty something what sometimes somebody is not very deep or not deep enough, and things doesn't come up. But hypnotherapists can detect that and work on it.
Okay. And now we spoke a little bit about the stage hypnosis and things like that. Now, from what we see on TV, a guy can just go pinch you on the shoulder and say, sleep, and that's it. Now, how easy is it to get hypnotized?
It's very easy, but also if you are a stage hypnotist, they are usually the best hypnotists, the stage hypnotists, because on stage, you have to act very fast.
Yeah.
But what is happening that it is tests what you can do before that who is very easily hypnotizable. And who is very easily hypnotizable, surprisingly, the people who are intelligent. They don't question too much. They want to experience something.
All right.
And then it's test what the hypnotherapists do with the audience to say, you coming.
And what are some of those tests?
So you already know that, well, you just say that to the whole audience, that just let your arm levitate and see how the one levitate and the other one got some books on, and then the whole audience doing it, and then you say, well, okay, that one is that one.
And then, so it's not something where they have to take the people into a back room and first get them into this trance state. It is something that can be as simple as touching on the shoulder and saying, sleep.
Yes.
And they'll do it.
And don't forget that also, it's not ready, you're ready for it. Hypnosis works with three very important things: imagination, concentration, and belief.
Okay.
If you don't believe in the hypnotherapist, you're not going to be hypnotized.
It's not going to happen.
Now, also many times people, very, very skeptical people coming to my office, but because I explain what it is and how is it, I never had a problem that I can't hypnotize anybody, but that is because it works with your mind. You have to make up your mind that you want to be hypnotized.
So if you don't want to be hypnotized,
then
there's no
risk. Then don't come to a hypnotherapist.
But what about... Okay, let's say you do go to a hypnotherapist. Yeah. You go there, but you're a skeptic. You don't believe you will, and you don't want to. Can they still hypnotize you?
I just had recently somebody, but what I do in that case, I leave them in the first time. Let them just think that you know, some people come in with the idea, I'm going to just get to it, and my mind is stronger. Then it's fine. That's your choice. We still had a very good session, and I helped him a lot. And then the next time, he will be very nice. By that time, he knows what he's doing. He's been taught to how is your mind work, and we'll be fine.
Okay. We're going to go to the calls here. We've got Marilyn on the line. Good morning, Marilyn.
Hi. I'd just like to make a comment regarding the hypnotherapy. I'm a hypnotherapist myself. And as your lady on the show has said, your guest on the show has said, that there are a lot of perceptions that are absolutely inaccurate. A lot of them are due to fear and a misunderstanding of what hypnosis actually is. And in fact, most people go into hypnosis into an altered state of consciousness several times a day by themselves.
Yeah.
In fact, if a person is watching a movie, reading a book, watching sport, they tune out to their surroundings and they are absolutely focused on what they are watching. And that equals a state of altered consciousness, which also is hypnosis. That's all I'd like to comment on.
Okay, thanks for the call there, Marilyn. You're pretty much in agreement
absolutely,
with what you said.
Absolutely,
there?
She's absolutely right. You are twice hypnotized a day, definitely. You are hypnotized when you're slipping into sleep, you know, that feeling when you're not sleeping yet, but almost. And also when you wake up in the morning and for a minute you don't know where you are, that is the state of hypnosis.
Okay. And in terms of self-hypnosis and things like that, can you give any sort of tips and tricks? You've said the visualization thing for if you're nervous and that kind of thing. But let's say if you're having trouble sleeping or things like that, are there things that people could do to make that a little bit easier for themselves?
Yes. What you can do, you can learn a very easy technique of self-hypnosis whereby you're taking yourself into hypnosis and then feel asleep afterwards.
Okay, makes a lot of sense. Very interesting stuff. Right now, though, it is 6:30. We're going to catch up with the news headlines. Thanks for that update there. Numbers to dial if you'd like to join us are 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Once again, we're joined in studio by Marietta Hindi. I hope I'm saying your name correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she is a hypnotherapist answering all your questions. I'm going to go to some of the questions we've got on the SMS lines here. The one says, can anger be cured by hypnotherapy, anger that stems from childhood? I'm 44 years old now.
Absolutely. That is something definitely have to be addressed. And that is one of the free some anger, guilt, and fear what we have to overwork on. And we all got it almost.
Okay. And then hypnotherapy for body aches and pains, where all medical tests are negative for anything there. So is it something that can help?
Well, it could be psychosomatic. Yes, it could be.
Okay.
If it's nothing being found, then obviously that is something to do with the mind.
Okay. Well, what is like the most serious affliction that you have helped someone with through hypnotherapy?
Ooh, I've got so many. I don't know. That friend and client of mine with the detached retina. What we had to be she just all of a sudden been told very blankly that she's going to get blind, and she was in hysteria when I came to her, and we worked with images of her being completely cured because she had to be operated the next day. And the doctor actually, when they took off the bandages and that, she'd been told she can't travel and she was just about to go to Spain. And it worked wonders because her retina detached the very next day as of the operation.
Oh, wow.
So it was almost like a miracle.
Jeez.
So she said to me, I should see this doctor's face the way.
No, sounds very interesting. We've got Irvin on the line with a question on regression. Irvin, good morning.
Hello, good morning to you. Very interesting program, thank you. The hypnotist mentioned she could take you back as far as the womb. But can she go further back than that, if you believe in previous lives?
That's an interesting one.
Can she go into your previous lives?
Well, of course, Mervyn, yes. And that, again, works with your mind and your images and your imagination. And yes, absolutely. And the very interesting thing is that in past life regressions, things and pictures and happenings come up, but it can't be really just made up of. So it is.
But how can you be sure? How can you be sure that it isn't? You say it works on your imagination as well. How can you be sure that it's not something that, oh, you read a book once or you watched a movie once and you thought that would be cool, and you, in your subconscious, it kind of just sat there?
It is. It's such a ready-made story that is impossible to make it up that quickly.
So you definitely believe in the past lives?
I definitely believe, because I had so many past life regressions with people. And also, I'm a firm believer of that we are not just coming here for once. And
we're not just here for the milkshakes.
Yeah, absolutely. So to me, that this makes sense. It makes logic. And also, yes, sometimes even outwardly pains and aches have something to do with a past life. Not always, though. It's a little bit overestimated in that way. And somebody said, oh, well, look into your past life. It's not always, but very often it is. It is. Yes, absolutely. It's not. If you think about it, Clinton, we make believe everything. You got this vision of everything, everyday life as well. And that is what we just refuse to acknowledge.
Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. We're getting a lot of SMSs asking for details to contact you or details to sort of email you. Is there a number you can?
I'm on the South African hypnotherapy side as well.
Okay, what is that website?
It's called SAIS, the South African Institution of Hypnotherapy.
Okay.
I'm on that website. That's why I haven't got my own. And they can call me at my landline, but preferably after hours. I'm very busy during the day.
Okay, sure.
Seeing people.
Okay. Would you like to give that number out?
Yes, it's 442-0284 in Joburg. So 011-442-0284. Or they can contact me or leave a message on my cell, 073-365-0095.
Okay, great. So if there are people who are looking to take treatment like this, they can get in touch. We'll try to put that up on the site as well. I've got a question here from Marius. Good morning, Marius.
Hello, good morning. A question I'd like to ask is, I have a dire, you know, I want to stop smoking. And is it possible to have a message on telephone that would, like, kickstart yourself to believe that you can stop smoking, that you need to stop?
Marius, I can see that you want the easy way out, but I wouldn't advise you to. Like everything else, you have to work on that. It doesn't, you know, as I said, I'm not a miracle worker. I just work with your mind. I'm only a facilitator. It's your mind who are working. So if you're ready for stop smoking, then it's just a help, but you have to be ready to stop smoking. I can't tell you when you're ready.
I appreciate that. I'll just, if you don't mind, let's for instance say that I've been in session with you.
Yes.
Say 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And I feel that, okay, this, whatever it is overpowering me, I'm going to smoke, and I quickly then...
then you're obviously not ready for it. You obviously didn't make your mind up completely.
I think, Maurice, are you like talking about like a trigger word or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I mean, you know, like...
a trigger works work if you believe in it. So the trigger work, what I did with one of my clients years ago, and he's still not smoking and he's still very grateful to me, is that I said that every time that he tried to smoke, he will puke. And he did. But he believed me. So you have to believe. The mind works with your beliefs, whatever it is.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I didn't get those telephone numbers.
We'll try to give it out at the end of the show, or we'll pop it up onto the site.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Maurice.
Right, bye-bye.
Cheers. It's some interesting ones. I think a lot of people do look at hypnosis as the easy way out, but you're saying it's just as hard. It's still work that you have to do.
Yes. It's hard for you to go to a therapist. It is work. You have to work with the therapist. It is your mind we're working on. So you have to be making up your mind. You want to do something about your life or your habits or your phobia or whatever it is.
Okay. Now, one of the big things that hypnotists always say is that even when you're under hypnosis, you won't do anything that is against your constitution. You know, that you won't do something if you disagree with that action. Is that correct?
It's absolutely correct, because as I said to you, hypnosis works with three very important things, and the very first one is belief. And if it's something against your belief, you're not going for it.
But now I've seen in these hypnotist shows, these stage shows and things like that, where they will say, okay, when I say this word, you're going to be a stripper in a strip club. And, you know, and it's not someone I would think, you know, really wants to get naked in front of a whole lot of people, and they'll start going at it. You know, they'll start taking off the clothes, and then you'll just tell them to sleep again before it goes too far. Now, it seems to be a little bit at odds with, you know, the line that you won't do anything you disagree with.
Just think about the whole scenery. It's a stage show, and some people love to be on these sort of shows. So you are completely conscious what you're doing, but you are so, so relaxed that you're actually going for it.
Yeah, I don't know. Something
that's the way it works.
Something I don't think I'll try. We're going to go to Anne. Anne, you've got a question.
No, not really. I haven't got a question.
Okay.
I was just going to say that many years ago, because I'm pretty old, I'm 83, but I think I was in my 30s, but we knew a specialist doctor, and this person he had to operate on couldn't have an anesthetic. And so a hypnotist hypnotized this person, and he said it was the most terrifying thing to do, to just cut into this patient. He thought, God, I hope it does work. And it did. It was perfectly all right. And I so often think that they could help the medical people in that way.
Oh, well, yes, definitely. I'm always... always advertise that, and in the hospital as well. That's what we try to to show people how much value in that, because if somebody's hypnotized deep enough, you can operate on that person.
No, it was incredible. He said he was terrified to put the knife into this person, but they were perfectly all right, and it went wonderfully.
It just shows that everything works with your mind.
But the other thing is, you were saying that, you know, you can hypnotize people and they can tell you about events and things. But I remember going to see some tennis at Ellis Park, and we were sticking up for the one side, and this friend of ours in front of us was sticking up for the other side. And, you know, he saw it in quite different eyes to us. So it might be difficult when you ask people about the events, you know, because they see it the way they want to.
Yeah, that's an interesting one there. And so what I'd like to ask you then is, when you go into hypnosis to get these memories, is the perspective neutral? Or is perspective given from your conscious mind? Or is it something that is in your subconscious as well?
Yes, that's what I wondered. I listened to you on radio.
Thanks. Very interesting one there.
Well, you are bringing up memories what you thought that you already forget as well, as consciously as well. So it's basically a mixture.
Okay, so let's say we'll use sort of Anne's example with the sport, okay? I'm watching a rugby match. I'm supporting the Springboks, okay? Well, when you watch a game in that way, you tend to focus a lot more on what the Springbok players are doing and less on what the opposition is doing. If you had to go and recall that memory through hypnosis, would you be able to recall what the other players were doing, even though that's something you weren't really concentrating on at the time?
Yes, you might. You might recall it better than consciously.
Okay.
Your subconscious is almost almighty. It can do a lot of things that you have no idea of.
But that's the thing that scares people. That's really the thing that scares people. We're going to take another call here. We've got Jeff on the line. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, gentlemen, and morning to your guest.
Hi.
I just wanted to relate an experience that we had as ACF, you know, Army trainees when we were kids. And we had a chap by the name of Churton there who was a budding magician and hypnotist. And he taught me how to hypnotize. And we used to run shows for the troops, if you like, put it that way. And I'd just like to reassure people that there's actually... You know, there's a mystification about this that isn't warranted, and there's nothing really to worry about because we were two absolute amateurs. But quite frankly, nobody ever came to any harm. We had a lot of fun with it. We did go into age regression or mind regression, if you like, and into so-called previous lives. And it was great fun, and nobody ever came to any harm out of it.
Interesting stuff there, Jeff. Thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Cheers. That's now one of the things that I think I asked you in the break. If there is someone who is trained badly or, you know, isn't completely equipped to use hypnotherapy, is there any way that any damage can be done to someone by bringing up memories that aren't right or leaving someone in a state or leaving thoughts behind?
That could be that maybe if somebody absolutely didn't study psychology and get things, and there's a lot of people, it sounds very good to be a hypnotherapist, but lots of people go for it and they really don't know how to handle other people's lives. Not really damage, but they're not going to be able to do...
They're not going to be able to help.
Valuable help, yeah.
Okay, now, I imagine that if you bring out memories, let's say it's child abuse or something like that, that someone's locked away and they're now 40 years old and they go back to a hypnotherapist who doesn't have any sort of psychology accreditations and they're not going to know what to do with those memories, that's surely going to be a bit harmful, though.
Not more harmful than when you do it consciously. So basically you can record these things consciously as well and harm yourself in a way, not harm yourself, but reaffirming in your subconscious mind about, so what can happen that is actually reaffirmed instead of being healed.
Okay.
So does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. I don't know if I'm completely on board with it, but like, I'm one of those people that believes some things are better just left suppressed in your subconscious, you know, just put it away there in a little box. You know, this whole bringing things out and dealing with them and that, I think, you know, for some people, the way of dealing with it is to lock it away. You know, that's the way that they need to handle it.
The sad thing is that everything what you do in life, it will be stamped from it. It will be always that stamp on it, what, because you coming from that direction. Say you had a problem with your mother or your father or somebody. We always got somebody we got a problem with. So you're going to see this person and act, you're going to act as a victim, you're going to act as somebody coming from that point of view. And that's not very good for your life.
Okay. No, that's a very good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. Now, another question just to clear up some of the misconceptions. Is hypnosis recognized medically?
Well, what can I say? South Africa is always somebody who looks around and everybody waked up already. And in the States, that is, as I mentioned, since 1958, it's absolutely medical aid based. Everything is...
Medical aid actually pays for it.
Absolute.
Wow.
But not in South Africa. We are a little bit behind, and we actually try to fight that the Hypnotherapy Association went against it, and the bill again hasn't been come through that right. we can charge for this. And we're helping a lot of people with it in the meantime, but they have to pay cash.
Okay. Cash for help. Cash is king. Now, you talk about the Hypnotherapy Association of South Africa or the Institute. Well, what sort of things do you need to have studied or learnt to belong there? Is it just that you need to know how to hypnotize people, or are there some sort of psychology things that you would have
look,
to learn?
Look, it's more than a yearly study, and it's quite, it's not an easy study. Not everybody. Some people come and they learn it, and they never use it because you need guts to also start. I mean, when you start, how you start, you say this person, I just learned this, you know. Because it's a very easy technique and it's very easy to learn, but I think practice is what actually makes us either not good hypnotherapist or a good hypnotherapist. The more we practice it, the more we learn from our mistakes and carry on helping people.
Okay, sure. Now, you obviously use hypnotherapy to get to these events that affect our behavior, like you said earlier. Now, what sort of questions...
That's my specialty.
Now, what sort of questions, once you've got someone in this hypnotic state, how would you now proceed to lead someone to that event? Let's say someone has a fear of public speaking. Where would you start to try and track down that problem that's caused this?
I would do some regression therapy to see if it maybe stems from somewhere, because most of the time it does. It's say you was a child and you've been boo-booed when you started to sing in the school or whatever the case is. But some little very minor something can actually affect your mind, and that picture always comes up that when you was failing.
Okay.
And so when we find that, then we work on that first, and then we work on the images and the imagination, how well you're doing.
Okay, and how easy is it to pinpoint that event, is what I'm asking. Like, when you start the regression, is it something that's sort of like a big road flare that says, well, it's definitely this, or do you have to kind of...
You have to kind of.
You have to kind of ask a lot of questions there. We are taking your calls on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. It's 11 minutes to 7. The next talk station. It's Talk Radio 702 and 567 Cape Talk. Clinton in for Errol this morning. Joined in studio with Marietta Hindi, a hypnotherapist. And we're getting lots of questions through you. I'm going to go to some of your SMSs here, and hopefully you can help and just answer them. Wanya says, can one acquire better memory through hypnotherapy? I'm 60.
Absolutely.
So yeah. It can actually improve your day-to-day memory?
Yes.
Okay, brilliant. So good news there. Another one here says, can it cure eyesight? I want to be an air traffic controller, but I don't have 20/20 vision.
Well, yeah, it is need repeated visualization technique. So what the subject can learn it and do it.
So it can actually improve physical aspects.
Just think about it. You can improve anything what you want with your mind.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a very interesting one. I wouldn't have thought that, you know, if you've got, I'm wearing glasses and that, my eyes have slowly got worse, and hypnotherapy would help me to actually improve my eyesight.
That's where beliefs comes in. Belief is not just religious. Belief is about what we believe in life about. And when you believe that these glasses are getting worse and that you need it, you're going to need it. Unless if you believe that you will work on it and you visualize that your eyesight getting better is actually getting better.
Very interesting stuff. Got another one here. Now, bipolar is something that a lot more people seem to be suffering from nowadays, and people try to stay away from the heavy drugs that get prescribed for that. Is there something that can help for bipolar?
Yes, I had bipolar patients very recently as well, and it is a lot you can have on bipolar. I also feel that it's a little bit of a psychological label lately. It's very easy to say when something you don't understand that's most probably bipolar.
Yeah, well, it seems to be.
It stems from the mind, definitely.
Every second person I know is on antidepressants. Yeah. I don't know if it says more about them or more about me.
But the very, very, very bad aspect of it is that the minute you believe, then you are a sufferer. You know, somebody labels you with something and you say, oh my God, I'm got bipolar. And then you believe that you are. And you're acting on it. We are acting on it, what we believe on. And that's very, very scary.
Very interesting stuff. We've got a call on the line here, Solange.
Hi, it's me from last week. Hi, Clinton.
I'm all right, and you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Hi. Unfortunately, I just put 702 on now. I've only been listening for about 5 minutes. I wonder if your guest could explain how hypnosis can work with chronic pain. I know that there is a pathway that you can actually link, and somehow or another it does help chronic pain.
Okay, would you like to listen on the radio?
Yes, sure.
Okay, great. So,
it is something that you can do. It is a very easy technique, which also works with visualization, but you have to learn how to sort of lessen the pain. I mean, it's not always that can, it depends what kind of pain is that. But pain is also stems from the mind, and yes, your mind controls basically the centers where the pain comes from.
Okay, I've had another SMS here which goes on that. I'm very amazed and surprised at the fact that hypnosis can help sort of physical afflictions. I do believe in the mind over matter thing, but to a point, you know. And here's an interesting question then for that: is it possible that you could help someone who has had a head injury to walk again? Or is that something that...
It is, again, very much works with belief and is dependent on the damage what's happened. If it's very big nerve problems or centers what's been damaged, then the hope is not as big as it's have to be
okay.
Established. What's the damage?
Okay, great. And things like, you know, the big disease like cancers and things like that. Have you ever worked with anyone?
Oh, yes, I definitely have. And I had fantastic results because that, again, works with your visions. Don't forget, the minute you are believing in something, you believe that you're not going to die, as true as God you will.
But I imagine that this is something that would have to... Like, you wouldn't be able to have someone who has cancer and only do hypnotherapy. Is it something help them through the chemotherapy phase
to maintain
the strength?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a second technique, how can I say? It's not just the solution.
Okay. And are there now any more? I know it was important for you to clear up some of the misconceptions that it's little magicians in coats that are doing these things and that. Is there anything that you feel we haven't touched on that people out there believe and they should stop believing?
I think they should stop believing the negativity in themselves and bringing up the positivity. And that's where all these books and all these beliefs come from. Be positive. Consciously, that's not that easy. But if you're bringing up pictures of the future instead of the past, then it's much more less difficult than otherwise.
It definitely helps a bit more. Now, there was something I touched on earlier, and maybe it's something that you can't share with us, but if it is, I'd love you to. When you have someone sort of under hypnosis now, let's say you've hypnotized me and I've got a fear of public speaking. How would you lead me after I've been hypnotized to that point that has resulted in my fear of public speaking?
Where you, as I said to you, completely conscious. So we're talking the same way like I'm talking to you now.
So I'm not asleep, and
you are just on the it is a very very little margin between sleep and hypnosis, and you are just before sleep, so you can talk and you are conscious.
And to hypnotize me right now, you could.
I'm not going to look at your
eyes anymore.
If you have the constancy, then I could. Yes.
and it wouldn't be difficult for you. Like how long? Please don't try this now. But how long would it take for you to hypnotize me if we're sitting here?
Maybe
right?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. I'm definitely. I'm turning my back. You see, this is the thing that scares people. This is the thing that scares people, is that it's something that they feel is beyond their control. That if you wanted to hypnotize me, have you ever done that? Have you ever sort of just saw someone in the shop, they're reaching for the last pack of toilet paper and you need it and you just sleep?
No, it doesn't. No, I like to actually explain it before I hypnotize anybody. It is not, it's against my principle to do that.
Okay, and is there some sort of code of conduct when you get accredited as a hypnotist that you say?
Absolutely, you have to sign the code of conduct.
Okay, so we're not going to have cases like that Woody Harrelson movie where they do the post-hypnotic suggestion for the guy to shoot someone and things like that. Not going to happen.
No.
Not possible.
Definitely not.
Okay, great. I'd like to thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's Marietta Hindi. If you'd like to just give your phone numbers out one more time.
Okay, my cell number is 073-365-0095. I repeat, 073-365-0095. Or you can leave some messages on 011-442-0284.
Okay, great. Thanks. I think you've cleared up. Sorry,
my email address is mhindi@polka.co.za.
Perfect. Mindy@polka.co.za. I think you've certainly cleared up some of my questions about it. And for all of those of you listening out there, send money to Clinton's account. You've been listening for an hour now. Clinton's account. Send money. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. It's been a lively show. Stay tuned for Lee next. Right now it's 7 o'clock and time for your Eyewitness News.